FPL rankings. Better late than never. Welcome to the Fantasy A-League podcast round 21. My name is Cody. With me is Jake. Jake, how are you this morning?
Very well, Cody. Friday morning.
Yeah, a bit late. I mean, much later. I don't think we've ever done this on a Friday before. Especially, you know, there's games tonight. So hopefully this has left enough time for people who are listening to,
get the critical information just before the round starts.
That's it. So round 21, we just had on the weekend gone. So it seems a little while ago now. It's not really fresh in my memory.
I'm actually looking at the results right now just to remind me what happened.
We go through double chalk award, which means the best of the best from the weekend. Jake, we'll probably have the same one here. Max Burgess. I think it was his first ever goal.
It was his first ever goal.
And went on to score three.
Went on for three, yeah.
Patrick, so well done.
It wasn't, because I thought that'd be an obvious one, actually. Yeah. So
I wrote two as well, but what have you said?
My one was more of a general, the results going the right way that makes the finals race heating up. Yeah. So Brisbane Roar had a loss, Adelaide lost, Western United had a win, Western Sydney obviously had that win in the derby. So there's now four teams within 3 points of each other, and one of those is the Wanderers, who have a game in hand, and only two of those will make the finals. So just in general, I guess, for...
That was my backup, double chalk as well, so
there you go.
Well done. And salted caramel is something that sounds really nice, but in fact isn't so great. Jake, I didn't actually have one this week because I didn't watch enough. I was going through, as we'll mention in the round review, I think I watched about half a game out of the five games. I only caught the Western United versus Central Coast Mariners games.
So. Okay. Well, my salted caramel doesn't exactly fit the definition because I don't know that it sounds or
so
looks
just,
good.
It's but just something that's
It's just
bad.
Central Coast Mariners at the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it 6-2 in the end against Western United?
Well, if you take a big picture, at the start of the season, there was a bit of optimism around the club.
Yeah, Alan Stajic coaching there. I don't know. They had a couple of games where they actually looked reasonable towards the start as well, but they're, leaking goals at the moment.
How many losses in a row? Seven? Six? Seven?
Something like that, yeah. It's not looking good for them. And, I mean, a lot of people are using that to say, you know, this is where promotion relegation and a second division is needed just to give them a year in a lower tier. And anyway, that's a different discussion.
All right, TPO rankings, the fantasy, the league. How are we all going? So the weekend gone. Russ won the week. Russ won the week, the cookie bet. He got 98 points. Cam came in second. He was only 8 points away from winning a week. He still has enough
still
in 21
hasn't.
Rounds.
Yep.
He got 90 points. I scored 85. And Jake, you bought the cookies this week for Russ, 69 points.
Yeah.
The TPO rankings team, Jake, 102 points. So they would have won the cookies if they were a real person. Maybe we'll have to incorporate them as a company because legally then they'll be a person, then we'll split the cookies. That's a good idea for next year.
Done.
Overall though, Jake, so you're first in our group.
Yeah.
But second place, Liam from Moran United, is catching up.
Had a killer week.
What did he get, 120 or something?
Something like that. He doubled my score nearly.
So how many points is he behind you now?
I
think about 13 or something.
12 or 13, I think, when I last checked. It's getting close, yeah. I had a very good gap on him, but I've gone and lost it in 1 week.
And Brendan, I may as well do the top three, is still in third. Jake, who's in fourth there?
Oh, I don't know. We don't go below that, do we?
I'm in Cody. Fourth, Jake. Can you believe after this whole time starting out at 135? I've been slowly climbing my way up, making a finals push. Just like, I don't know who, the Jets. I'm just like top of Stanley, Jake.
Righto. That shot still rising.
Yeah, still rising. I'm coming for you. I'm a fair way off, but I reckon I can sneak into the top three before the end of the year.
It's going to be a hard thing for you to catch up that many points, I think. But if the round is gone, tells us anything, it only takes 1 week and you can gain a good
50 points.
Plus.
Two of those in a row and I'm back in. So I'm fourth overall. Russ is 14th. Cam 62nd. He rises a little bit. TPO rankings team up to 12th. They're starting to get back where they were. Jake, the Eliminator. I must mention as well, the top three, there's a prize at the end of the year. Total compression pack of $200. So you, Liam, or myself, or Brendan, are up for it at the moment. I'd like that, actually. Get some blue kits for our new club, AC Carina.
Do you get to keep it, Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still got to get that bloody Tri-Grip prize off Tri-Grip, Josh.
Josh, let's
for the round 15.
The
we're only, what, 7 weeks late?
Yeah.
And we might be sharing that with Liam as well, who, by the way, guys, I interviewed Liam, I had a chat with Liam. I didn't interview him for about 10 to 15
interrogated
minutes.
Interrogated him?
Yeah, over Skype. He's down in Newcastle. So I'm going to be playing that little about fantasy, about the A-League. I'm going to be playing that pretty shortly, but we'll just get through this section first. Eliminator Jake, how'd you go? You know, the Eliminator tab in Sports Tech?
No?
Yeah,
what's
no.
What's that? Yeah, I got knocked out of...
Gonski's.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens in these kind of knockout ones, isn't it? You have one bad week and the other guy...
Didn't you say Russ and Cam are gone too?
I'm pretty sure the three of us all lost this week.
Well, so. I won, Jake, by not a lot, 85 to 71, so I'm still in it. But I looked at the team I'm playing this week and their team's stacked, so...
Cody, if you had played the person I did, you would have lost. You got 87.
Well, I didn't, did I? I chose the right opponent.
Yep.
So, Jake, trades going into last week. Do you even remember? Did you write them down?
I wrote them down.
What did you do?
I made one. I traded Mueller out for Ninkovic in, and I...
That sounds like a bad trade.
Well, it worked out that both didn't score particularly well, but it was... Mueller was about to drop a lot in value, so I thought if I... And I didn't...
What do you don't need money.
No, it wasn't about keeping the money. It was more that I didn't plan on keeping Mueller for the rest of the season, so if I was going to drop him... I thought now would be the time, and also in the lead up to Sydney having that round of two games.
Okay.
So Ninkovic,
and you wanted to get closer to my team again,
just to stop you catching me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we have the same team, you can't catch up, can you?
Yeah.
So yeah, just the one. My week though didn't work partly because I only had 10 players playing on the field, and I wasn't actually near a computer at the right time. Otherwise, I would have seen that Halloran wasn't playing. Changed my formation.
Hashtag excuses.
No, just one of those things that usually I'm pretty good about, checking the lineup before an hour before the game. This one I wasn't able to, and
what it
ended up costing me a little bit. I was playing football.
Winning in the FFA Cup.
FFA Cup round three?
Round three against Kawana. Now we move on against the NPL side, Eastern Suburbs. That should be fun, but...
Hashtag cup set.
I traded Buzanis out for Liam Reddy from Perth, and Jamison finally start of the season. I've had him all year out for Ryan Grant. As you mentioned, Sydney got those two games coming up.
Okay.
So, round review. Let's quickly go through it just to refresh our memories. Friday, the Sydney Derby. I predicted Sydney FC to get up 1-0. Western Sydney got up 1-0. What did you say, Jake?
I said 2-1 to Sydney.
Yep.
So we're both wrong there.
Saturday, two games. Jets hosted Perth. How's this, Jake? Jets getting a win. 2-1.
Good on them, yeah.
What did you say?
I said 1-1.
I said 2-1 Perth, so I was wrong with that one. Later on, the original rivalry, Victory hosted Adelaide. The result, Victory got up 2-1. I predicted 3-2 Victory, so I got the margin and the team right.
I did as well. I said 1-0 to Victory.
And two games Sunday, as I mentioned, Western United hosted Central Coast Mariners. I watched a little bit of this game. 6-2.
Don't know that anyone got close to that. No. I actually predicted a Mariners win. I thought they'd come good, but 3-2.
I got 2-2. I said 2-2, so I was way off the pace.
We both had a shocking round here, Cody.
And City hosted Raw. I got this one wrong too. I said City would win. I said 1-1. I said it was going to be...
Well, I said City win 2-0. So that's
you got either right.
I got one result.
Yeah, and they won 1-0.
Yeah.
So let's get into some Facebook questions. Then I'm going to play the interview with Liam, and then we'll get into some stats. So three questions. Braden said... Oh, this isn't... Nah, let's skip that. It's not related. Sorry, Braden. He asked about a red card in the Peninsula Olympic game, whether it was worthy, whether Football Queensland should step in. So I appreciate the question, Braden, but we've got a tight episode this one, so we're going to move on to fantasy. This one's not really relevant either. Kind of is, Matt. He asked, is Jake as good as football as he is as fantasy football? Jake, what's your answer? Second best in the country?
Probably not quite.
Maybe more like fourth.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, you'll have to come down and watch.
That's a hard no, Matt.
If you're not playing the night we play Eastern Suburbs, because Matt and I used to play together at Eastern Suburbs, we're playing them in the FFA Cup. He'll probably be playing, he plays for Moreton Bay, they got the Gold Coast night, so he might have the game on the same night. If you're not, you can come down and watch for yourself. Maybe, Jake, you're a little bit past.
Well, I'm the stats guy, so at least in fantasy I can analyse it a bit and feel like I have some control. But
Jake, you're only getting better.
Out of retirement. Well, the boys have, not that you can see it, but there's a board behind me which is my to-do list. And they've put an item on there, be less shit at football.
Yeah.
And I said, I've come out of retirement this year. There is no getting better at this point.
I reckon you're getting better, at least compared to where you were two months ago.
There's getting fitter.
Yeah, that helps though.
Yeah.
All right, last question, which is related. Which players have and haven't lived up to their potential in fantasy? So in terms of have, Jake, I think it's pretty obvious. All the big names who are scoring well this year, I don't know if we need to touch on too much apart from
just mention some names,
LaFondre, McGree.
Fornaroli.
All those big name players who have fired. And then there's been the ones who you didn't know much about, like Davila. He's done.
I don't think anyone
well.
Would have predicted him to do that well.
Yeah, it's he sort of came from nowhere unless you knew much about him. He was at Chelsea.
I don't think most people, and you're probably one that will disagree with this, but Petrados, I don't know that most people predicted him. He's the sixth highest scoring player. You mentioned him at the start, but I don't know that a lot of people had him at the start. So not many spent, I guess he was expensive, so not many spent the money on him, but he's paid off.
Okay, on the other hand, Jake, so this might take a bit longer and it's a bit hard to see, but who hasn't lived up to their potential in fantasy? Can I throw one name in the ring to begin with? Poulsen from Victory.
Yeah, can I actually expand that? Because okay. And go on in a minute.
Dobrus
and... But the whole Victory foreign midfield.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the whole Victory team. Mm. Apart from maybe Toivonen, who still hasn't... He's dropped off. He had a few good weeks earlier on, and he's still probably got a decent score, but he probably should be doing better.
Yep, that's fair.
But pretty much the whole Victory team. But yeah, definitely Poulsen. I had him in my team. I thought, oh, he's cheap. Because I think they listed some of those new players at 198K. It was very affordable. I'm like, man, he's the central midfielder of the Victory. Who's going to be one of the best three teams? Turns out he's shit and they're shit. Yep. So he hasn't lived up. Do you want to throw another name?
Yeah, well, I have a different one, but I'll tag one onto yours, which is Dobrus. Because I was disappointed at the start. I was trying to figure out which Melbourne Victory midfielder I wanted. And I wanted Poulsen, but because you had him, I ended up going with Dobrus. He did well for me points-wise for the first few weeks, and then he did nothing and ended up on the bench and not even in the matchday squad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Economides, because
big one.
Yeah, I tossed up him or Castro.
Well, he looked good for 3 weeks.
Well, round one, I had him as captain, and he scored a goal, got an assist. Like, I think I got rid of him about round 5 or 6 or thereabouts, but for the first little
while... And you were saying you're going to get him back.
I was going to get him back, and then he stopped playing. But now he's injured. Yeah, so I at the start I was tossing him up between him and Castro, and I ended up going with Economides, and most people thought that was a reasonable choice. And now Castro's is one of the highest scoring players.
We mentioned before we hit record, or I did, that the Perth players started off really slow, like Castro and Fornaroli and stuff. They were bottom of the table after a couple of rounds there, so everyone's like, oh man, but now they've come back as we sort of predicted. I've got another one for you, Jake. Craig Noone, what do you reckon? He's sort of like, I think I'd give him definitely a pass, Mark. I've had him the whole season until about 2 rounds ago. He's doing okay. He scored some goals, got some assists, but he was touted as potentially the player of the season. I've heard a few Fox Sports commentators, or at least one, say, he'll be the player of the season because of the FFA Cup form he started.
He was one of the most owned players in the early weeks, partly because of his price tag, but also the hype around him.
Mm. So he had a lot of hype.
And look, I'm just looking at the points. He's scored the 14th highest amount of points, so it's not like he's had
good.
A terrible season, but he's, I was saying this before to you as well, I think he just started slow.
Mm.
And most of his points have just, he hasn't had a round where he's gotten 30 points most of the high
like a 12 or 14.
He just seems to be getting solid scores regularly.
Which is why I sort of held on to him for so long. I got another one, Traore and Deng. I had them, the two Victory defenders. Well, Deng's gone. He traded over to South Korea. No, Urawa Reds in Japan.
Yep.
And Traore, he's been very disappointing this year. And one more, I got Wing Bickla. So he was signing for City. He's out for the year now and was injured pretty much the whole year. Had potential, looked like a good... I think in round one he was absent, and everyone's going, oh, hang on, where is he? He's injured. And now he's, sort of just fizzled.
That's fair. I'll give you another one, and I'll give you two. One of them is Lawrence Thomas, because I had him towards the start, but again, that's just because Victory is shit and they're copping goals. Kone, I think. Like in the early rounds, a lot of people owned Kone. And he scored reasonably well. I mean, he was probably on par with Diamanti for quite a while.
Yeah, he was.
Injuries and whatever else. Yep. I don't even know what's going on now, but he's well down the list. I would even... I don't know about this one, Cody, but how do you feel if I say Ninkovic?
That's a tough one. Right now, I'd put him as just a pass mark, but I believe with... How many rounds ago?
I think he'll finish better than where he is right now.
But right now, I'd give him a pass mark. I'd give him a C. Okay. A C+.
Because he... I had him at the start of the season for 2 rounds, and then I traded him out because I don't even know what it was. I think he was about to drop in value, and so I did it from a cash point of view, but I haven't ever gotten him back until now. And he's just one of those players playing for Sydney, controlling the midfield. I expected him to be up there with the best, and he may well finish there, but up until now, I don't think he's quite got there.
Well, as we'll mention, and it's a good segue into my chat with Liam, we sort of mentioned a little bit towards the end of the chat that the player, perhaps if you're going to readjust how sports tech do their scoring, that giving like a 3-2-1 to the players who perform better in the game based on maybe the Fox Sports ratings or something rankings of player of the matches, giving them a few more points, like they do in EPL fantasy. And he would benefit from that system because he's been the best player in the park a few games, but he just hasn't got his assist to the assist, and there's no points for assist.
I can see the argument. The
counter argument
to that is, more often than not, the player who gets the 3-2-1 is going to be the player that scores high anyway.
Yeah.
The person who scores a couple of goals or...
Yeah, like Max Burgess would have got sheet or, 3 points.
You know, So I think that's probably the reason they don't, but it'd be interesting to... I mean, they probably have all the data that they can check it anyway. And there wouldn't be a lot of players that score poorly on Sports Deck because of that, but Ninkovic is definitely one of them.
And Castro, I think. But he's sort of picked up a few points. All right, let's move on to my chat with Liam, from who's in second in our group, from Moreen United.
Okay, today we have a bit of a special guest. Liam from team name Moreen United is joining us on the podcast just via Skype. Liam, how are you going today?
Mate, very well. Thank you for having me. It's I've been listening for a while and I'm glad to get involved.
Awesome. So you're down in Sydney?
Yeah, well, Newcastle, actually.
Newcastle. Do you support any the A-League club, Newcastle?
I support Sydney FC because I was born and raised there and only moved up to Newcastle the last couple of years, actually. So I don't think I can change now after being a Sydney supporter for so long.
No, probably not. And it's worked out all right for you the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah, mate. I don't want to change right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, cool. Do you play footy yourself or did you play when you were younger?
I've played all of my life pretty much. I think I had a bit of a break when I was in my 20s and drinking and hanging out with mates was probably a bit more important. But apart from that, I've been playing for many years. So, yeah, I love it. Still playing now, still playing all age.
Oh, yeah.
36 next week, but still playing all age, so that's good.
Love it. So you've had a pretty good year in fantasy. I think you're currently sitting second in our group in the TPO rankings group and you're fifth overall in the whole website. So you're having a very good year. You've been in the top three for pretty much the whole year. I don't know the first couple of rounds, but ever since I can remember, you've been in the top three. Is this your first year doing the Fantasy A-League?
I did Fantasy A-League on a different, I think I did the Fox Sports one. Remember Fox Sports used to do one?
Yeah, I think they had it last year. I think they cut it for this year.
Yeah, I think I did it maybe 2 years ago, and I just didn't like the way that they had run it, and the points weren't as good, I think, and the interface, you know, as far as the prices, price increases and things like that was just, it wasn't very good. But I'm a big NRL Supercoach fan, and I think Sports Deck or Vapor Media or whoever does the Dream Team actually do, they use the same sort of software or program as NRL Supercoach. So it was very familiar to me because I've done that for about 7 years. So once I saw that they did an A-League version, I jumped on this year. So it's the first time doing this Sports Deck version.
Do you like it? Do you like the point system and how it's all run? Do you think like the scoring is pretty good?
Yeah, I do actually. I really do. They could probably add more stats. I mean, with NRL, there's a lot of different stats that you can kind of focus on, which means the points can be a lot more intricate and it makes it more exciting. But yeah, and I think they could probably add a few more things in A-League. I don't know exactly what sort of areas they could increase the points in, but I think it's pretty good. And I like the break evens and I like the price increases and the general prices that you've got for the players and the increases that you can get and decreases if they're not performing. So yeah, so I like that part of it. Yeah.
One thing I thought they could try and do, and I think the EPL fantasy does this. I used to play that back in the day. I haven't done that for a long time, but if I'm not sure how it's voted, but like the best player of the game, like the player of the match gets voted by maybe it's the, I don't know, the TV people, pundits, or whether it's the players themselves, but the player of the match gets like 3 points in fantasy as well.
So
a player say, I know earlier in the season I was in favour of this because I had the players like Ninkovic and Castro and they weren't really doing that well earlier in the season, but they were always playing really well. They were like the best players on the park, but it didn't translate into fantasy because they didn't get that final pass. They got the assist to the assist, not the assist or the goal itself. So I was always frustrated. I was like, why can't they should get more points rather than just the appearance? And, I reckon they could do something around that. I think it's a pretty good system.
Yeah, no, definitely. They do. I mean, they do the Alex Tobin points or something on through Fox Sports or whatever they do.
Like, they should indicate like put that in through the system or something. Yeah.
Because a lot of the time they'll put that in the top three that they have through Alex Turbin points. They don't not necessarily ones that performed well in Dream Team, but you're right. They perform well on the park, and they need to probably get a few extra points in fantasy.
I'd love to see something like that. But otherwise, I've been pretty happy with this. It's the first year I've done the sports deck, and I'll probably look to do it again next year as well. But definitely. So you're back in Sydney FC to win the grand final this year.
Mate, look, I think we can definitely do it again for sure. We've got a very good lead now, and I think they've taken their foot off the pedal a little bit, I think, in some areas. And the AFC game that I watched was pretty devastating, that was tough to watch when it was 3-0 at halftime, and I was watching in bed and thinking, oh, geez, this can't get much better. So, I think in the league they'll find their feet again, and I think they'll go through with it.
Yeah, what have you enjoyed about the A-League this year?
I think it's getting better and better every year. I think it's the standard is fantastic. Some of the goals that you see, I mean, what you didn't really have in previous years was that you're seeing these goals kind of going across the world and people kind of taking notice of Australian footballers and the standard of Australian football, which we haven't had for a long time. And I really think that that Australia has a very good league, and I think there are a lot of players there that can hold their own with players across the world. So I've really enjoyed the ability of the players, coming up and being a bit more exciting to watch compared to some of the other leagues across Europe.
A lot of the younger kids this year, I thought, have done really well, like the Touré brothers and even the young Sydney boys who have come on the last few weeks. Yeah. Kakache at the Phoenix. It's lots of young talent going along, and I think it's exciting stuff for the A-League to be producing young players.
Absolutely, and also, the higher the standard goes, the more that those young players will want to stay here and try and find their feet in the Australian leagues before they ship overseas. And having players overseas is very good for us generally, I think, because we kind of get those players' names out there, and it's good for the overall promotion of Australian football, and also for our national squad. But I think as far as the league goes, it's when the standard increases, people want to play for the A-League a lot more, and that means that the standard then increases even more. So
All right, let's talk some fantasy.
Sure.
From the start, did you go for more of a well-known players from previous years or the previous year, or did you pick more of the imports who maybe price a bit cheaper and younger players, or a bit of a mix, or did you sort of just pick and just hope?
I just kind of look. To be honest, I picked and hoped. I read a few things. I joined the fantasy Facebook group and kind of just saw what the chat was about certain players. I mean, I've been watching A-League for a long while, and knew players and knew what they could do as far as Sydney players and other players, but there were imports that I looked at, like Diamanti and Davila and players that were kind of new to the league and were looking like they could kind of do something pretty special. But again, they're unknown quantities, a lot of them.
Have you had Davila since the start?
I haven't actually. Davila's only one that I've brought in, I think it was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right. Wow.
I was holding off, and he was just absolutely brilliant for the first whatever it was, 18 rounds or 17 rounds or whatever, and I was just sitting there watching going, surely this can't continue, and then it continued, and I thought, well, if I'm in the top 10 or whatever, wherever I'm sitting, looks like everyone around me has Davila.
So you better get him.
So I better get him. And he kind of dropped a little bit in price, and I could see that the Phoenix had a pretty decent run coming up, so I picked him up. So I have him now, but I didn't have him for a long, long while, and it did hurt every week.
Mm. So who have you had from the start that you can think of that you've kept the whole season? Did you start with like a McLaren or a Lafondre?
Lafondre, I think I started with. Because as a Sydney fan, I knew he'd do pretty well, and he's consistent. Lopar is one of them that did really well for me early. And I think I had him from the start too.
Yeah.
I had a lot of – he was the best keeper for the first probably 10 rounds, where he just was really knocking it out. And I've still have him now. I'm probably just going to keep him. And I've brought in Marinovic as my main keeper. and I'll kind of have Lopar as a backup and kind of alternate between them depending on fixtures. But, yeah, I remember starting with Lopar, and I think that kind of gave me a bit of a leg up because he was doing a lot better than a lot of the other keepers at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and that really gave me a bit of an edge on a lot of others because people didn't necessarily go for Lopar. I don't think he had a huge ownership at the start. But he just kept on performing and kind of gave me a bit of a boost above other keepers. And, I think I've had McGree as well from the start, which was a good shout.
He had a few weeks away injured and stuff, but he's had a good year.
He had, and a lot of the chat at the start of the season was that a lot of the attack would, I mean, he was the kind of linchpin as far as Adelaide's attack was going. And so I thought that he was a good shout, and they've done really well, and he's been brilliant for me so far. So, but mostly it's been kind of building as much cash as I can and bringing in those guys at the right times. I mean, with the NRL thing, there's a bit of a theory that you say that they're, you know, rookies and guns, they say. So you kind of just get in the guns that you want, the best players in the league, and then you kind of fill around them with young guys.
Okay.
So you just keep going and try and find some young guys that'll make you money to get another gun, and then you kind of downgrade them to a starting player. It's a bit harder in the A-League, which I've found this year with this system, that it's very difficult to find. A lot of it's not the same in the fact that a lot of the guys kind of get eased in. A lot of the younger players get eased in, and they get 10 minutes here and they get, you know, 15 minutes here, and the increases aren't that great as far as prices go. So you can't really use them as cash cows. But that's kind of the theory I've been going with, trying to downgrade people that have reached their peak for the moment, and then potentially bring them back in when they're a bit of a more affordable price.
How many trades do you have left, do you know?
10.
Oh, you're doing all right. I think there's 8 rounds to go, so you should be fine for the rest of the year. Do you have many Perth and Sydney players? Like 2 or 3 from each of those teams?
I've got 3 Sydney players. I've got Grant, Ninkovic and Lafondra. And I only have Castro at the moment.
Okay, from Perth.
From Perth, yeah.
Well, they've got, and I think Western Sydney, they don't have any more buys this year. Yep. So be interesting. What are you looking, I don't know, for the rest of the year? I think there's 8 rounds to go. You just sort of, are you planning to, you know, be conservative with those 10 trades, or are you just going to, you know, take it as it comes? Or are you happy with your team at the moment?
I'm happy with my team at the moment, but I think I'm probably going to have to get a bit more aggressive. I mean, I made up a bit of ground on Jake and some of the others.
Loving it.
The round that's just passed. I think I was the only one. The ones above me all scored less than 100, and I scored 124. So that gave me a bit of a boost.
Yep.
So I probably need to play a bit more aggressive and have a look at the fixtures coming up. And I think I have the trades to kind of do that. Yep. So I'm able to see what fixtures are up and what the strength of the draw is for a lot of the teams, and kind of bring in players to try and give me a boost each week. And if I can make up, you know, 10 or 15, 20 points each week, then I might be able to slowly creep up and be in the mix at the end. So
that's awesome. No, you're doing very well. And I, for one, will be cheering you on, because I definitely do not want Jake taking out at least a TPO rankings team.
I'll do all I can, mate. We might have to collaborate.
You're not far behind. You're only 13 points behind, which obviously,
I made up over 40 or 50 points on him this week, which was a huge
help. He had a shocker. Yep.
A really, really big help. So I'm not too far behind. So that's given me a bit of a boost, and I'm ready.
On the other end of the scale, mate, I'm into fourth on our league, and you two are sort of running away with it a bit at the moment, but I'm about 121 points behind you. So if you start slipping up 8 rounds to go, I might make a late run for it. So just
I was gonna suggest a bit of a collaboration to take Jake down, but you might give me a switch up and give me some bad advice now. So maybe we shouldn't do that.
if I could help in any way to take Jake down, I certainly will. So I'll be checking in on his team. If I can give you any insights, I'll let you know.
Yeah, mate. No, it sounds good. All good.
All right. Well, Liam, thanks so much for taking the time, mate.
That's okay.
Enjoyed. You've done very well this year, and hopefully, like I just mentioned, you can get up into first spot and beat Jake. But yeah, enjoy the rest of the A-League season, and maybe we'll do this again end of the year, or perhaps next season sometime.
Yeah, mate, sounds good. Thanks for having me, and good luck with the rest of it to you too. And if we need to collaborate and do something to take Jake down, then mate, I'm all for it.
Perfect. Thanks. Cheers, Liam.
No worries, mate. See ya.
I hope you enjoyed that little chat with Liam. I appreciate that, Liam, for jumping on Skype with me. If anyone else is interested to do something similar before the season ends, just let us know on Instagram or something like that, and we might, depending on who you are and how you're going.
Send us your resume.
Yeah, I'll be happy to have a chat. So we just got to get it organised. Jake, your stats of the week, let's go.
All right. And I should say, I haven't listened to your chat with Liam, so if there's any shade thrown my way, I'm not going to respond.
Oh, there definitely was, yeah.
I'm not aware of it, but assume that I had a very witty response if there was one required. Okay, let's get into it. Round 21, the team of the week. We touched on it, but most people probably didn't get a particularly good score this week unless you had Berisha as your captain, or if obviously you had Max Burgess, but most people don't have him. Having said that, the possible score this week was 230 points if you had Burgess and Berisha and you had the captain just right, which I'm guessing no one did. But it was a 3-5-2 formation, which doesn't happen often that we don't have three forwards in the team of the week. The goalkeeper was Daniel Lopar from Western Sydney with a clean sheet. Defenders, Topor Stanley, Durante and Tim Hoogland from Victory. The midfield... five midfielders were Max Burgess, obviously, Diamanti, Stensness, Marco Rojas, and Neil Kilkenny. Mm-hmm. And then the two up top were Berisha and Andrew Nabu. The team of the year, only one change, and that was with Vutrick missing another game. That's two in a week now, which I'm going to have to look at because he's in my team. Alex Grant from Perth just traded spots with him.
Yep.
So it's still Macaulay Gillespie, the other defender in the team of the year. In terms of some traded players, and Cody, this is the one benefit, or it's a benefit of doing this on a Friday. We've had plenty of time for the stats to update, so most traded in and out are now probably not going to change. Most traded out, we've got Dimi Petratos at the top and Matt Miller. Probably, I guess, Petratos is projected to drop in value. I haven't even looked at the...
Jets have got
to
buy.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that's probably a good explanation. Mm. Going down the list, Traore, Halloran, Milan Juric, Buzanis, Georgeski, Kone, Vutrick, and Ninkovic. And again, we're at the point now where there's not a lot of trades happening anymore. Mm. So Ninkovic...
Why would you be trading out Ninkovic?
Yeah, maybe he's injured. I'm not sure.
I haven't checked any injury or team news.
Well, look, he's in the top 10, but he's only had nine
yeah, right. So it's not a lot.
Traded in, though, Davila. And this one's interesting because...
They had a buy last week.
Yeah, and he's not projected to... In fact, he's projected to stay about the same in value. So it's not a money move. It's simply because they're playing Central Coast.
Yeah.
People are starting to just look who's playing the Mariners and I'll get them. So Davila, Rojas is number two, McLaren, Lawrence Thomas, McGree, Jacob Tratt, and I guess that's in exchange potentially for Vutrick, Diamanti, Stephen Taylor, Alex Grant, and Josh Brillante are the most traded in players.
Yep, makes sense.
Let's talk about some of the money. So projected price rises if you're still at a point that you need to be making these sort of smart moves for money. Kakache is supposed to go up about 79,000.
Wow.
And Burgess, 78,000. So some big moves there. I should say...
Was Burgess on that list, the trade list?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was up the top there. Kakache and number three, actually, Marinovic. They're probably not bad choices given we're a couple of weeks away from Phoenix having two games. Yeah. So keep that one in mind. Mitch Duke is number four. Van der Sarg. We got Tim Hoogland is on there. David Ball. Marco Tilio from Sydney, but I guess that depends on if he plays. And Bessart Berisha's on there. Some of the big names that are going to be dropping, and I've got a few of these in my team, Cody. Lafondre is at the top of that list. McLaren is number two. Jack Clisby, who else we got? Barbarousis, Castro's still in there, even though he dropped about 50,000 last week. He's projected to go another 35, and Jamie Young. So they're the ones if they're in your team. If you're thinking about trading any of those, now might be the time. And that's what I've got for you, Cody.
Cool. Oh, I appreciate that. Upcoming round, Jake, how many trades you got left? 8, 7?
Oh, I think I'd have to...
Well, I've got 6.
I think I'm on 8.
Okay.
No, nine. Just checking.
Oh, jeez. I've only got 6 left. This week, going into the week 2, so I've got 2 Jets players with the bye and Georgeski out. I think he's out for 2 weeks suspended. I've got him in my back line. I probably will just keep him there unless I really need to trade him. I don't have a lot of money either. I've only got 80K left. So that's 3 players on my bench. Outfield players on my bench, so hopefully no others. Otherwise, I'll be forced into some trades. I don't want to make any. How about you?
Well, I've got still money sitting in the bank. I've just been waiting.
We're all aware, Jay.
540,000. I've got the 2 Jets players as well. I'm not sure because Vutrick hasn't played the last 2 weeks. I want to keep him because he scores so well for Perth. But if he's not playing, it obviously doesn't help me.
When's he play this week?
They play on Sunday, so unfortunately, if I leave it that late, I'm not going to have any options to trade. So at this stage,
plus we've got a game Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just going to make the assumption for now that he's going to be on my bench for me.
Yeah.
Halloran missed the game with, I think it was a hamstring injury, but he's back in the team squad. So he plays first thing tomorrow, Saturday. So if he's in, I should be okay and I might not make any trades. I've still got this Duke to Fornaroli trade in the back of my mind, but Duke went and scored a goal and is going up again, so maybe I'll wait another week, but I'm not entirely sure. Again, with Perth playing on Sunday and Western Sydney playing tonight, I have to make that call right now if I'm going to do it, so I probably won't. So it's probably going to be a week of no trades.
Yeah, we'll see. Jack, you always make trades.
I might trade Halloran out.
Yeah, you probably will.
I probably will, actually. I don't know who I'm going to get, but it might be Halloran.
Alrighty, well, let's wrap things up with our predictions for the weekend ahead that starts tonight. So Jets have the bye for tonight, Jake. The Raw, that's in Brisbane, are hosting Western Sydney Wanderers tonight.
We're going to that, Cody?
7:30, nope. I'm predicting Brisbane to win 2-0.
I think Brisbane will win as well, but I'll go 2-1.
Tomorrow, Adelaide are hosting Western United. Jake, what's your prediction?
Adelaide will get up 2-0.
Nope, it'll be 3-all. You heard it here first. High scoring. These teams can't defend.
Fair enough.
Later on, it'll probably be nil. Later on, Victory are hosting Sydney in what they call the Big Blue. What are you predicting, Jake?
I'm tempted to, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with Victory to give Sydney 2 losses on the trot.
Yeah.
I'll go 1-0.
Yeah, Sydney haven't looked as...
I don't think it'll happen, probably. But I'm hedging.
Yep.
But
I'm saying 1-1. Sunday, 2 games. Central Coast are hosting the Knicks, as you mentioned.
Against Wellington.
What are you going to say for this one, Jake?
They can't keep losing, can they? But
you can say that every week.
I don't know. I'm going to go a draw. I'll go 2-2.
I'm saying 1-0 to the Knicks, safe result. And to finish the round, Perth are hosting City, which should be a good game for that second position.
That'll be Perth
just coming off a loss against the Jets.
What's that? About 7 or 8 o'clock.
They didn't have a midweek game. No, Sydney did. Remember, they play Jumbook. Perth's game was postponed.
Okay, I'll go first. Perth and Melbourne City. I'm going to go with Perth 2-1.
Okay, I've said Perth 1-0. That's the podcast. Jake, anything else?
No, that's it. For keep an eye out for FFA Cup games that are happening around the country. A lot of draws have just been done in the preliminary rounds. So, keep an eye out.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks to Liam again for coming on, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.